Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
WWE's latest primetime broadcast on NBC is centered on the retirement of 58-year-old Bill Goldberg and brings a range of opinions on his legacy. For most of the past decade, Goldberg has been on standby as a reliable attraction from the romanticized Monday Night War era. It was an easy add-on, primarily for cards in Saudi Arabia, where Goldberg took the assignment seriously, getting his body in shape and putting in a short but hopefully explosive performance. The results were hit and miss, but with a 3-year absence since his last match, now was believed to be the best time to execute his retirement and generate one final audience off the Goldberg mystique. It was established that Goldberg's TBA return would be with Gunther. The answer was the same city where the angle was shot, where Goldberg holds deep roots, and airing on network television as it engages in a battle for the wrestling fans' attention with AEW All in Texas. WWE opted to double down beyond just presenting Goldberg's retirement, but adding the World Heavyweight Championship to the match after Gunther regained the belt last month. It has muddied the waters, with WWE de-emphasizing the retirement with a larger focus on Goldberg seeking revenge on Gunther and not being able to explain what would happen if Goldberg won. Further complications include WWE having less than a month before its 2-night SummerSlam at MetLife Stadium and already beginning to tease an issue between Gunther and CM Punk for a future title match, while Seth Rollins remains hovering with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Saturday's test is to see if Goldberg can command an audience for what most expect to be his legitimate retirement match, as the veteran has gone to extenuating circumstances to be physically prepared. The show's support includes matches involving Seth Rollins and LA Knight, and Drew McIntyre facing Randy Orton. It's going to be WWE's 4th edition of the latest iteration of Saturday Night's main event since its return last December. The benchmark to hit is this past May's special, highlighted by a rare John Cena match on television and a steel cage bout between Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest, with the show averaging 1,969,000 viewers and a 0.54 in the 18 to 49 demographic. It was our largest audience of the 3 airings and a 32% viewership increase from January. The career of Goldberg is a fascinating one, and if it ended after the fall of WCW, he may have been a blip on the radar among modern audiences. The ex-NFL player found a second calling and hit World Championship Wrestling like a tornado in the fall of 1997 and was the hottest thing in wrestling by the next summer. The MMA-inspired look and presentation was propelled by a tried-and-true concept of short but explosive matches akin to Magnum TA and Ultimate Warrior rolled up together. Fans salivated when his familiar drumbeat began, and Goldberg's entrance became as memorable as the match to follow, heightened by his walk from the back, snorting a pyro through his nose as anticipation grew for the bell to ring and a countdown to the next jackhammer and notch on the growing win streak. Signs began popping up at arenas, keeping count of the streak, and suddenly WCW had a phenomenon on its hands by early 1998, and Goldberg was becoming an accidental superstar who was every bit Steve Austin's equal during a year when both companies were red hot. It escalated toward Goldberg winning the U.S. Championship from Raven and climbing the ladder to wrestle the major stars in the company, some of whom would take more convincing to be destroyed in under 5 minutes. It was a simple formula, and it took buy-in from the opponent to see the bigger picture and what Goldberg meant for the company, which needed a fresh babyface star, and translated to business moving in the right direction. The seminal moment of Goldberg's rise occurred on July 6th of 1998 at the Georgia Dome for a hastily promoted WCW championship match with Hollywood Hogan. With a month of promotion, it's hard to imagine that this match would not have shattered WCW's pay-per-view record and allowed the promotion to cross the million-dollar threshold at the gate. But in a ratings battle, it was the ultimate bullet in the chamber to fire against its competitor, and with the match officially announced 4 nights before on Thunder, it was on. The special edition of Nitro drew 41,412 fans and a gate of over $906,000. Which is almost $1.8 million in today's dollars, at the Georgia Dome, and provided one of the most electric atmospheres for a title match in WCW's history. In 8 minutes and 11 seconds, Goldberg pinned Hogan and was flanked by members of the Atlanta Falcons as WCW anointed its new star, and while the company was spiraling behind the scenes, it felt like it had a solid command of the wheel on this night with a 31-year-old star to build the next era around. We know how that turned out. The next 6 months were a dizzying set of misfires by the company, which have been dissected and discussed ad nauseum. Instead of becoming the clear-cut top star, Goldberg was wrestling Kurt Hennig 6 nights later at Bash at the Beach, while Hogan took center stage with Dennis Rodman against Diamond Dallas Page and Karl Malone. 1 month later, it was Hogan and Rodman against Page and Jay Leno, while Goldberg was in a nondescript battle royal on the undercard of Road Wild. Then the Ultimate Warrior came to WCW and took more focus away, as Goldberg was clawing for the position he had been promoted to months earlier. While WCW was tanking, the live event business was not showing those signs yet. The tail end of 1998 was nothing short of extraordinary with the business that WCW generated over a 4-week period. With Goldberg as champion, on December 7th, it drew 32,067 and a gate of nearly $756,000 to the Astrodome for an episode of Monday Nitro. 2 weeks later, it was 29,000 people and 914,000 for Nitro at the TWA Dome in St. Louis. This was the go-home Nitro before Starcade, a pay-per-view that drew 460,000 buys for Goldberg's defense against Kevin Nash. The run concluded at the Georgia Dome on January 4th to start 1999 with 38,809 and a $930,000 plus gate, only 6 months after Goldberg's win in the same stadium. But for the arguments that creative is subjective, the returns at all of these venues in 1999 told the tale of where WCW was heading and turning off large percentages of its fan base. WCW would come back to the TWA Dome in May for its Slamboree pay-per-view. It still drew a healthy 20,516, but the gate fell 46% from December. May 31st at the Astrodome, attendance fell in half to 15,000, and the gate fell 42%. The Georgia Dome decline was one covered the heaviest. The audience on January 4th bore witness to the dreaded finger poke of doom, with Hogan pinning Nash to win the WCW title after a bait and switch with Goldberg throughout the night. They came back in July of 99, still drawing 25,000 people, but the gate fell 36% to under $600,000. It was also the last card they ran at the Dome. The boom period was over and the peak of Goldberg had expired, but he remained the biggest star for the number two promotion in the world after WWE took a commanding lead in 1999 and beyond. The end of Goldberg's winning streak was poorly executed and its follow-up even worse. Through millions of ideas being thrown against the wall, they would change his music. They turned him heel. He was lost for months after an errant stunt where the star put his arm through a glass window of a limousine as his mystique was challenged on a weekly basis. By late 2000, with all fresh ideas left for abandonment, they restarted Goldberg's winning streak, where he would be forced to retire after his next loss. The streak would end at the Sin pay-per-view in January of 2001, teaming with Buddy Lee Parker against Lex Luger and Buff Bagwell, when Goldberg was sprayed by Mace and pinned by Luger, becoming a trivia note as Goldberg's final match in the company. 2 months later, WCW was out of business. Through a guaranteed contract at WCW and WWE unwilling to upset its payment structure, there was no urgency for Goldberg to move to WWE. He had a lucrative backup, taking occasional matches with All Japan Pro Wrestling, but was otherwise divorced from pro wrestling unless an offer was compelling. WWE's business sank after the purchase of WCW's assets, with a botched invasion story, a lukewarm reception to the company's own version of the NWO, and an invasion redux using its internal television programs as the warring brand Raw and SmackDown. Fast forward to 2003, and WWE's business needed a shot in the arm. This was exacerbated by the 1-2 punch of losing Steve Austin and the full-time services of The Rock after WrestleMania 19. In a different outcome, Goldberg would have been the savior, to at least be used as a band-aid until the next big star was discovered. Goldberg was only 36 years old and had more than enough juice for a substantive run, but the issues that plagued the invasion and the NWO reared its head again. Rather than take from the formula that was a proven success in 1997 and 98, WWE needed its own evolution in the Goldberg character, ranging from new music, less reliance on the squash formula that built the mystique, and a belief that he needed to work longer matches to meet the bar of WWE main events. After negotiating a lucrative contract with limited dates, it painted a target on Goldberg's back for having the audacity to work anything less than a full-time schedule. The creative staff famously orchestrated a skit where Goldust placed a wig on Goldberg, symbolic of the company's total disregard and misunderstanding of what made Goldberg such a unique star for its defunct competitor. There were glimmers of hope, including a well-laid-out Elimination Chamber match at SummerSlam in Phoenix, where Goldberg tore through the participants before falling to Triple H's sledgehammer. It deflated the crowd, but the argument was made of holding off Goldberg's crowning as champion for one more pay-per-view cycle, beating Triple H at Unforgiven for a forgettable 2 months as champion. The belt was back on Triple H by year's end, and Goldberg was eyeing the expiration date of his one-year deal, one where the company was all too ready to bid farewell. An embarrassing WrestleMania match with Brock Lesnar was Goldberg's swan song, as the New York audience was aware both men were on the outs with WWE and took over. Bitter feelings on each side remained, with Goldberg intent on never working for WWE again and was not shy in the press to vocalize those sentiments. Over the next decade, Goldberg did film work and attached himself to the growth sport of MMA as a commentator for Pride, WFA, Elite XC, K1, and Glory Kickboxing, as well as operating his own gym in San Diego, even flirting with the idea of taking a kickboxing fight. He had the distinction of being on the call for Brock Lesnar's first pro bout in June of 2007 at the K1 Dynamite card in Los Angeles, as the former WWE star stopped Olympic judo silver medalist Minsoo Kim in the first round. Goldberg would never be found innocent of calling it down the middle, as his guttural roar was a popular soundbite as Lesnar dismantled his opponent in 69 seconds. A reunion with WWE seemed improbable, but through a third-party business arrangement, the door was opened. 2K had not only assumed the company's video game license, but became an unofficial broker for talents on the outs to find that in. After years of exile, Randy Savage would be plastered across the promotion of the WWE All-Stars game in 2011. 2 years later, it was the Ultimate Warrior coming in through 2K as an entree for a Hall of Fame induction. And in 2014, it was 2K, not Vince McMahon, that reached an agreement with Sting and led to his first and only run with the top promotion. The next target was Bill Goldberg, as 2K secured his name and likeness for its latest release in 2016, and the formula was in play for yet another improbable return. The story wrote itself, as Goldberg had defeated Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 20, and its monster needed fresh opponents in the worst way. Paul Heyman played a key role in the updated presentation of Goldberg, where there were no wigs and no compromises. They wanted to present Goldberg in the authentic form and book to his strengths, rather than mortgage his potential. It wasn't 2003, and it was a lot tougher for Goldberg to look the part of the ass-kicking machine as he approached his 50th birthday. Goldberg showed up on television and cut a hell of a promo, leading to the rematch with Lesnar in Toronto at the Survivor Series. In one of the more bolder booking decisions in a conservatively minded WWE, they didn't leave anything to chance. Rather than do the one-and-done, where Lesnar gets his win back, they saw the legs Goldberg could have, and the decision was made to put the legend over in the strongest way imaginable for maximum interest in a rematch. WWE presented an 85-second main event where Goldberg pinned Lesnar clean with a jackhammer and stunned the audience at the Air Canada Center and those watching at home. It was ballsy and bold, attributes sorely lacking 13 years prior when Goldberg desperately needed this attention. They took the rematch to WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, going further by opting to have Goldberg unseat Kevin Owens as the Universal Champion and put the belt on the line with Lesnar, similar to the scenario this weekend with Gunther. The two had a high-octane, all-action match all in under 5 minutes, which was leagues above their 2004 embarrassment, as the two exorcised those demons, and Lesnar's win was amplified by the added promotion. It was believed that it was the end of the line for Goldberg, who got his proper send-off in WWE to rectify the previous run and inducted into the company's Hall of Fame the next year. But several factors led to Goldberg being called on for future matches. In 2018, WWE entered a 10-year contract with the General Entertainment Authority of Saudi Arabia, with shows netting the company approximately $50 million per visit and relying on big names. Goldberg became an easy attraction to fill out these cards, wrestling in Saudi Arabia 4 times over the next 4 years. For the amount Goldberg was making, it only made sense for him to be used in high-profile matches and led to some resistance for his constant presence in quickly promoted title matches over the ensuing years. McMahon pulled the trigger on another Goldberg title win in February 2020, beating The Fiend to heighten a penciled-in match for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 36. The global pandemic changed those plans as Reigns would opt to stay at home and Braun Strowman took the empty spot, beating Goldberg inside of an empty performance center. Goldberg returned the next year for failed title challenges against Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley, and finally having the delayed match with Reigns in February 2022, his last match until this Saturday. It's hard to envision Goldberg doing another match after Saturday night's main event, but the caveat is always there, this being professional wrestling and all. The legacy is an interesting one, and while never gaining support for a Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame induction, it doesn't diminish the importance of someone that came along during a major boom period and extended it for WCW rather than riding its coattails. Today, Goldberg either elicits a surge of nostalgia or an eye roll at the latest return. It comes down to whether you lived through his period of 97 through 99. It is too short for a Hall of Fame career to stand on, and ultimately, his side was on the losing end of history. If his contemporary at the time was Steve Austin, Austin's own run on top was realistically 3 to 4 years, from his anointment in 1998, the heel turn in 2001, and retirement 2 years later. But there is no argument how instrumental Austin was to saving the WWE from its mid-90s doldrums and leading to its heights. The fact is, Austin saved his company, while Goldberg's exploits could not overcome WCW's demise, and frankly, no one performer could have. The case study for Goldberg's What If is 2003, and if the WWE booking of 2016 had been transported to that era, what level of star could he have become with the industry leader? It was an exceptionally lean period in that post-Attitude era, and even in limited doses, a Goldberg approximating his WCW peak could have at least been the bridge needed to get to the next set of stars. If this is his final match, he's an intriguing figure who entered the rarefied era of a true difference maker during WCW's zenith, exiting during his prime earning years and returning for a capstone on his career. While Goldberg's age and WWE's booking were never in alignment, the test is this Saturday for the 58-year-old to get a proper send-off as one of wrestling's biggest stars of the past generation and whether he can attract a sizable audience for one final night.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.